This is Bro Talk with Gary Napier, and I'm pleased to welcome Nick Teal all the way from Wasatch in Southampton. Welcome, bro.
Hey, Gary. Thank you very much. Good to be here. Good to see you and chat with you again.
How you doing?
I'm good. Very good. Yeah, you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks. I'm well. Good. How's the Wasatch?
It's not sunny, but it's nice. Nice. We've been out for a walk along the river this morning. So, yeah, it's just nice to be in a place like that where you can get out and walk around and enjoy places. So, all good.
And not quite to the same scale as Mallorca, but you are surrounded by yachts, boats.
We are surrounded by yachts. I think we're one of the only couples in Wasatch that don't know a thing about boating. One of our neighbours are mad keen. We've got some quite sort of famous sailors that live behind us, and they've all got boats. Everyone's part of the local yacht club. We don't have a clue. We've got two. That's our venture.
That's your contribution.
That's it. That's as far as it goes.
Any interest in buying a boat in the near future?
We'd love to. Yeah, Claire, my wife, she's really keen to learn to sail. And I'd like to as well. But it's timing, isn't it? As with everything. But the idea of jumping on a boat and zipping over to the Isle of Wight for a bit of lunch, that appeals to me.
Yeah.
And a real yachties are probably thinking that. That's not boat. That's not yachting.
That's a hovercraft.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just get a rib with a big engine. No, our friends are very much into the sailing boat world, yeah. Which I like to, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, my dad was a really keen sailor.
Was it?
Yeah, weirdly, but after I'd grown up, so I never really got to be part of it. But he had his own boat and stuff. So maybe there's something in the genes. Who knows?
But bro, we spoke about many topics, particularly relationships and dads and sons, etc. Although we relate to mental health, we haven't spoken specifically on men and mental health. And You've kind of given me the heads up that you don't necessarily follow the traditional thinking around that. So this would be very interesting for me, and more importantly for the listeners.
Yes, it might be. Yeah.
And just to give you a bit of background, we're really keen on promoting naturally safe space for men to speak about men and mental health, whether it's stress, anxiety, relationship struggles, bereavement, and well, documented, isn't it, that men don't talk or men don't talk enough, where I don't believe it's the whole script, men do talk, but we need more spaces where men feel comfortable to be able to speak and share. But we know the consequences when men don't speak and don't share. It results in anger, domestic violence, stress, ultimately suicide in the extreme cases. And that's something that we're really keen to tackle. And that is also prominent in the yachting industry, whereby men are out, removed from their natural environment, from family, and from people think they're having a great life. But just because you're out to sea doesn't mean the stresses don't go with you.
Right.
And you're in a confined space, often in a cabin with very little room between two people.
Yep.
You've got to keep yourself in control. So no matter where you go, the challenges are there to various degrees.
So bro,
what are your views regards to men and mental health?
Where do I start?
That's such an open question.
It's such an open question.
Yeah,
Let me open it and see what happened. Yeah, thanks, bro. I thought you might ask me a more specific question. Clearly not. Let's just dive in it deeper. And I do know, certainly, so Claire, my wife is a counsellor, and she's counselled people in the yachting world. And so I'm aware that actually it's almost something that isn't recognised that well in the yachting industry. So, yeah, which is not helpful, because like you were saying, yeah, you do have to have that safe space. Claire and I are big fans of Below Deck, which you may or may not have ever watched, but anyone listening to this who is in the yachting world will be appalled that we watch that. I know that, because we have a lot of people stay with us from the yachting world.
Okay.
But you can see how intense living on a boat is, and that's so, yeah, get all that. I think when I say I'm not a traditional thinker when it comes to mental health, is that as a coach, I am not a counsellor, then I probably come at it more from less about the creating a safe space and creating a place just to talk, more about the tools and these are the things we can do to improve our mental health. I think that's probably where I can rub up against people who are far more sat in the counselling space saying, actually, I just want to provide you a safe space to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm probably a little bit old school and a little bit like, do we just need to get on with something here? Do we need to just change it? And sometimes, and this is the controversial bit, bro, so you can edit this bit out if you don't like it. But sometimes I feel that, I mean, we can talk about men's mental health. It's a huge topic. But let's take anxiety as an example.
Yeah.
For me, the word anxiety is overused. And I said to Claire this morning, is anxiety just another word for fear? Because fear has always been around. And I think you said in a post not long ago that we're born with two fears in life and the rest of them are learned behaviors, something along those lines. I don't remember what they were, but and that's truth. And that hasn't changed. But suddenly anxiety becomes this thing that it's got. Everyone is using it as a reason not to do things. And that's where the coach in me kind of kicks in and says, actually, we need to sometimes just feel the fear and do it anyway, as the book written years ago said. Maybe today that book would be called Feel the Anxiety and Do It Anyway. Depression is a slightly bigger topic, and I'm not hugely skilled in talking about depression. But again, I come at it from a point of view of many of the times when we might say we're depressed, we're feeling down because of something. And there's 101 things we could do to improve how we're feeling at any time.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
So are we using these labels as excuses for not living the best life that we want to live? Are we hiding behind some things rather than pushing forward? Those are the kind of things that I sometimes challenge people on and get accused of being a little bit harsh when it comes to the whole mental health topic.
In agreement, definitely with the depression, I had a similar conversation yesterday, and I said, the more appropriate words, as you said, feeling down. Depression is a completely different scale. You know you're depressed. You don't have any motivation. You cannot get up. It's overwhelming. It's suppressing. And it's a very, very dark place. And if you're depressed, you know about it. So it's unfair to the people who really have experienced depression.
Exactly.
But as you said, labels are flying around left, right and center. With anxiety, is it because you don't really feel more uncomfortable using the word fear, which is why people are more comfortable saying, I suffer with anxiety rather than I'm fearful over this?
Might be that. I mean, it has certainly become the buzzword and it feels like it's an acceptable thing to say. And yeah, I think maybe, again, when we're talking about men's mental health and men live under this whole, well, you know, you shouldn't be anxious. You shouldn't have depression. You're a man. You need to get on with it. That's the kind of message that if we're not careful, we think is the truth. But maybe that's better than, you know, to say as a man, oh, I'm scared. Maybe we don't think that's okay, but maybe we think it's okay to say we're anxious now. But I think the solution to it remains the same.
But let's use a real-life example. So a man who's fearful or anxious about losing his children is going to a court and he doesn't know he's going to get custody, etc. Well, how would you describe that? Is he coming from a place of fear?
I think, and that's a great example. You know, I've been through that and I was thinking about this as an example. What was my fear when I was going to court, when I thought I might lose contact or regular contact with my children? Well, I call it fear, call it anxiety. And I was down at times, yes. So I had all of those emotions going on. And ultimately it was down to feeling slightly out of control because I was no longer in control of my relationship. I didn't feel like I was in control of my relationship with my kids, but I'll talk about that. And a fear of losing them, a fear of losing contact with them, a fear of losing my relationship with them. 100%, that was what it is. Yeah.
Carry on.
I always say, if in that moment, I'm focusing on things that are out of my control if I'm not careful. I can't control my ex-wife's behavior. I can't control what she says to the kids, does with the kids, says in court. I can't control any of that. But if that becomes my focus, I'm going to really struggle with my state, with my emotions, because I'm focusing on something that's out of my control. What is in my control is how I show up with my kids when I get a chance, how I show up in court, if I'm going to court and being talked to. All of those things are in my control. How I turn up to work, how I look after my physical health is in my control. And we need to make sure we're focusing on the things that are in our control and not out of our control, because you can't control the things that are not in your control. So why are we spending all of our energy focusing on them?
I can definitely see the coach coming out of you.
I'm sure you can.
Isn't there a journey to get to that place? Because fear is real. That's how I see fear. It's something real's going to happen. It's like if there's a man standing with a gun pointed to your head, that is fear. It's real. He could just take my life. Anxiety is fear of the unknown. So it's not certain, but you're building up your mind at what something may or may not happen. Most of the time, it doesn't happen. But if you're fearful that you may lose your children, you may not have any contact with it, or may not be the quantity of contact you would like, surely, before a person can think about, well, okay, what's in my control, there's a journey from that place, that state of mind, to, okay, what's in my control?
What do you see that journey as, out of interest?
Well, I see that journey as we're emotional beings, we're human beings. So there's an emotional journey as well as the logical. So I see when you're speaking, the logic said, okay, that's not in my control. This is focused on that. But that's displacing the emotions.
Right. And absolutely agree. And so the journey, which is why I was interested as to what you thought, because yes, it's a journey from A to B. But the question then becomes, how long does it take to make the journey? As a coach, I say that journey can be made quite quickly, but it is a journey that has to be made. Yeah. So there's first step, conscious awareness that is something I need to. So if I was talking to a client, my first thing would be, when you're starting to feel that anxiety, that fear, then figure out, is that something that I'm focusing on? Is it in my control or not? Ask yourself that question. You know, I've said to a lot of people, draw a circle of the things in your life that are in your control, and everything that's out of your control, put outside of that circle. And when you have that thought and you get fearful about something, where does it fit on that piece of paper? In the circle, outside the circle. And it's a process of wiring the brain to think like that whenever you have the thought, so that you learn to focus on the things that are in your control.
Okay.
But if no one's taught you that, then of course you're naturally going into the default state of focusing on whatever is current in your mind at the moment, which may be that fear or anxiety.
There's definitely a need for education. Totally agree with you there. In the reality, the man or the person doesn't feel they can speak to someone, or there isn't anybody they can share with. What do they do with that? Because they're not going to get to that answer on their own, or, you know, it's unlikely. So they're in that dark place, they're on their own, I'm about to lose my children, or whatever fear is happening in their life. I could be losing my job or my home. What do they do with that then? Because that's it.
That's a hard question, isn't it? Because if you, we know a lot of men live very lonely lives in this day and age. That's a reality.
Yeah.
Men live as islands, but they shouldn't live as islands. They should have a band of brothers around them, at least one or two, who are your go-to people, who might put you straight. I don't know if I have an answer to what should I do if there's no one there, because my answer is, go on YouTube and you'll find out this information. Join Facebook groups of quality men that are free to join, and you'll find this information. You'll find people that can help you with this. But if you literally sit there and don't do any of that, then you are on your own, and you're not ever going to be able to make that journey. Because how will you cross from A to B if no one ever informs you that's what you need to do? You might get there by luck, but it's highly unlikely. It's an education. It's an emotional learning process.
And with social media, I know you've shared with me before, we do have to be wary of what we do. What we do look at, because
big time, bro.
But you, what was it regards to men giving you other men advice, or some of the
I was talking about this morning. Yeah, I'm in two groups on Facebook. I'm in a lot of groups on Facebook, but these two stand out as one is a UK dad support group where it's just thousands of dads. It's not got a leader that leads it. It's the blind leading the blind, to be quite honest. And the advice in there, no, never going to help. Sometimes it might. There's an odd person who comes up and they've got good advice. But generally, I read the blind leading the blind. The other group, it's led by someone that I have massive respect for in the male world, who I would consider is living his life and understands the principles of how men should live healthy lives these days. And he's in there supporting other men and giving out that advice when necessary. And the difference you see is unbelievable. But again, if you didn't know, you go into those two groups and how would you know which advice to take? And it is really difficult. You go on YouTube and you could find someone give shocking advice. You could find someone give brilliant advice for free.
Can you give us an example, bro, of the shocking advice you might see on there?
The easiest example is when there's been any kind of dispute between the guy and his girlfriend or his wife, depending on their circumstance.
Yeah.
And she's done something which, you know, to the emotionally intelligent, to be honest, you'd probably say, yeah, that's quite a feminine thing. That's what women do sometimes. She's probably upset about something. Maybe you've been acting away for 6 months. That's left her so frustrated that she's reacted. And now there's this massive fear about what's going to happen. And the advice that, all right, you know, take the kids, do this, tell her to F off. And it's just like, well, hang on a minute. You've been burnt by someone in your relationships. And now you're telling someone else to respond the way that you responded. How's it worked out for you? Because the same guys giving that advice will post the next week struggling with some obvious problem.
Yeah.
But like, so you're not emotionally intelligent yourself. You shouldn't be advising other people. And that is the problem with groups on Facebook. You don't know the quality of the information you're getting.
And from the example you've just shared, you can tell from that guy, there's hurt, there's pain, but he's not going to say that. But you've got lots of this information out there where it's coming from a place of bitterness, hurt, rage, which has been not resolved. And 100%. He's like, yeah, you do this, you do that. And it's just...
absolutely. And there's fear. Again, the fear's in there.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, when a relationship starts breaking down, the fear is, oh my gosh, she's going to take the kids. And men live under that fear at the moment. And I don't like that, but that's a reality. And so they're responding out of fear. The woman's responding out of fear. And it all goes very badly.
Didn't plan to go here, but we're here. Why is it the automatic response or the thinking that if a relationship breaks up, the children are going to go with the mum?
That's a great question. We could go into a whole topic about, you know, bias and everything there. It's historical, isn't it, bro?
I think that's
all we can say. You know, in this day and age where everyone's talking about equality, and again, I can have some interesting views on some of that, and I am for equality. I just don't think equality equals equality. I don't think it should be that way. And I don't think as men, we should have to fight as hard as we do to get time with our kids. But at the same time, you look at the way some of the guys respond and maybe you start understanding some of it. But I said to Claire yesterday, I said, if a man cheats on his partner, it's likely that to punish him, she's going to be like, right, you're never going to see your kids again. Or I'm going to make it really hard for you to see your kids. Or I'm going to tell your kids who you really are. It's like, he's done something wrong to you, but he's done nothing wrong to the kids in that moment. He shouldn't be punished in his relationship with the kids. He's going to have to deal with that himself. He's got his own guilt to deal with.
Yeah.
Don't make it any worse. But that's a very natural response. I think it's the woman acting out of fear. While we're talking about fear, I think that's what's going on. And she's in that moment, she's maybe fearful about what her life's about to look like. So she's kind of clutching at everything she can to hurt him, to get him back, and to protect herself. But I think it's an unbalanced society still when it comes to separation of parents and what that looks like for the kids.
Yes, and you're right. It definitely should be judged on an individual case-by-case basis, where what's right for the children should always be paramount. But when we talk about men and mental health, I'm aware of guys two people, but not have an affair or do that. And
absolutely,
children being taken away
without
their permission.
Yeah.
And it severely affected them. How can it not?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I went through. And my kids only ended up 200 miles away. And I know other people's kids will end up on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
I know people like that. So I get it. I don't think it's fair. I don't know there's anything we can do about that. So again, all we can do is focus on the bit that's in our control as the man. And this is what I always said from the day that I went through that, was the only thing I can control is, because I see a lot of men posting in Facebook groups, she's not letting me see my kids, my life's over, I'm broken. It's not over. I'm sorry if that sounds harsh. You had a life before. Your kids are an amazing part. We all know what difference it makes when we have a child.
Yeah.
But our life is still our life. And the best thing you can do for any child, whether you get to see them now or not, is try and work on the bit you're still in control of, which is you. So if I don't turn up for work because I can't go to work because I'm so down, and then I lose my job, and I don't take care of my health and I become ill, how am I helping my kids? If I got to a point where I got to see them again, I'm jobless, I'm unhealthy, I'm ill, that's not helping them. Best thing I can do is work on myself. Prepare myself for a time when your kids might just want to know you, regardless of what their mum says, if it's that severe a situation.
And whether you're on land work or out on sea, as we said earlier, we don't escape from the day-to-day of realities, relationships, breakdowns. Health is another huge factor.
Yeah.
Parents dying, loved ones dying.
Absolutely.
And 2023, we're now February the 18th. Why is there still such a massive gap between men being able to do something about it, getting the right support, leaning on each other instead of band of brothers, and the isolated man? There's a long journey, despite the awareness from Prince William and everybody else, men's mental health awareness, etc. But ask a man to ask for help, it sounds like a failure. And that's our biggest fear. We don't want to seem like a failure. As a man, why should you don't ask for help?
We're conditioned that's how it should be, aren't we?
Yeah.
And I think you and I would both say, we've talked about shotgun counseling before. It's the same principle that we try and fix, men naturally try and fix their stuff on their own. And so we don't reach out for help because that's weak. So we try and not appear weak because society's told us we can't be weak.
Is that the education? Because you said it earlier, it's an educational issue, which I agree with. But where does education start? Because our first teachers are
starting schools. Should start with our parents, but now we're a bit like these Facebook groups because our younger parents of today probably don't have that education either. Yeah, you know, we've become a society where parents don't have that mental intelligence, emotional intelligence themselves. So they're not able to give their kids that emotional intelligence. So ideally, it would start in the house. If it didn't start in the house, it should start in the schools. And it didn't start in the schools, then there needs to be more support for men, but young men, when they're still kind of, before they've got to a point where they've left home, they've left university or whatever, that in a house on their own, and suddenly it becomes really hard to get out there and connect with anyone or find help. It should probably be something that's being pushed into them at a much younger age in an ideal world.
How are you with your son and still are? Did you show affection openly, emotional support? Did he see you in a position where you asked for help? You were vulnerable?
Yeah, I would say my son has seen me in my highs and my lows. He's seen me upset at relationships breaking up. He's seen me admit fear over things. He's seen me jubilant about things. Yeah, I think to my kids, I try and represent myself as me, so that they know the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah. They know that I'm not some Superman that doesn't ever feel fear. Yeah. I said to my daughter the other day, I was encouraging her, and I said, I've always done things differently from the norm, and I've always been laughed at and mocked and told I'm a big dreamer, and I keep going, and I don't care. And that's just who I am.
And when you say you don't care, what do you mean by that? You don't care about other people's opinions, that you're doing you?
Yeah. If you want, I heard a phrase years ago, bro, that was look at the fruit on the tree when you'll get advice. And I'm like, all right, so you're telling me that what I'm doing is stupid and it will never work. Great. What are you doing with your life? So who are you to tell me? And that's how I approach anyone that shares an opinion about what I'm doing. There's a small circle of people who I have respect for, whose opinions matter. And the rest of the people, you're not where I want to be. So I'm probably not going to take your advice or listen to your opinion about what I'm doing. Because it's not, you're not backing it up. You're not living the way I want to live. So how can you put that on me?
So from that, are you suggesting that there's still a culture amongst men to be like each other, to fit in that group, that pack mentality? And you were laughed at for being different, from stepping out, for having different dreams and visions?
I think so. You know, everyone wants everyone to be like them. So, you know, we thought about a pub on a Friday night. If you and your mates met every Friday in the pub, a few pints, end of the week, you know, drink away half your wages for the week because finally you finish work because you're working a job you don't enjoy. And then one of you suddenly says, right, oh, I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to go and buy a load of property and invest and make loads of money and change my job. If you'd get laughed at, most likely. And the reason you get laughed at is because the other guys feel uncomfortable that you're trying to do something different and step out of this comfortable little circle that everyone's in.
Yeah.
Because we've all got the fear. But you're saying, actually, I'm overcoming my fear. I'm going to do something differently. And it might go really wrong and I might lose everything. But at least I tried. I said to my daughter the other day, I'll go to my grave knowing I tried. And I'd rather do that than go into my grave thinking I didn't really try. So, but we know that everyone always tries to, it's like, pull, even your friends. They mean well, but be careful. You might lose everything. Oh, no, it might not work. No, it might not. But, you know, if we thought like that, we wouldn't leave the house in the morning.
No, but not coming against you, just got through a different side. With men growing up more in isolation now and not getting that encouragement, that approval, that support that every man needs, as well as women, but we're talking about men today. And, you know, the economic challenges that we're facing and the pressure's still there on men, despite equality, and still men provide in every way. And if you've got another family and you're supporting, you know, children from a previous relationship, with new children, you know, the pressure just mounts. Can you see why they go for safety, the security that they're probably thinking, I haven't got the luxury, that we see it as a luxury, to step out and do it, because the main priority is security, is to provide.
Yeah.
And that's often causes the anger and the bitterness. So we've been on a train to London, bro, where you look at most people and they're not happy. They feel trapped. I've got a mortgage. I've got children.
Yeah.
I'm in a job that I'm good at, but I don't necessarily enjoy. It's not my passion.
I get that. But you're talking to someone, bro, that has a job that isn't his passion, that I don't enjoy. But I work before my job, I work after my job on projects that hopefully will mean that I don't always have to have that job. And there's nothing to stop people doing that. We live in a day where there's opportunity to either, you know, you can spend your evenings learning about all the stuff we're talking about. You can spend your evening learning anything you want and learning how to make more money, do something different in your life if you wanted to. And then it's just a case of, are you going to do it? Are you going to overcome the fear of what if it doesn't work? And are you going to overcome the, oh, I'm tired after a hard day at work in a job I don't enjoy? And sometimes we kind of need to light the fire of passion that says, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. Because yeah, you're right. I remember taking a couple of years out from getting a train to London. And then I went back on it, same people, looking just as miserable. It's like, that's a wake up call. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But I don't, in this day and age, I think it's easier. Now, I'm not saying everyone can, but it's a lot easier to find ways to not be that guy anymore.
Yes. And as you're speaking, I think about the root of men and mental health, and unless you get in a disease such as cancer or other illness, which is out of our control. But I'll say the ultimate root is when a man's not in his purpose or he's in a role that's not his
100%.
Purpose. That's 100%. Where mental health comes, because, you know, I'm not enjoying this. And we're passionate beings. Women are also, but once again, we're speaking about men today.
Yes.
And you put a man in his purpose, different person.
Fire. Fire. Absolute fire. 100%.
And
100%.
I've got daughters. And I'd always say to them that wherever they meet, they've got to have a passion. They've got
to have
a purpose. Otherwise, what are they offering?
Yeah.
A man in purpose.
And that's one of the most attractive things to a woman, or to a, what I would call a strong woman, is a man with a purpose. Yeah. A man that knows where he's going. And if you want to go with him, but he needs to be on his own journey. And I'm reading a book at the moment that says, you almost need to figure that out and be on it before you get in a relationship. Whereas men are like, oh, when I'm in a relationship, I'll be really happy. If you're not happy on your own, you're not going to be happy in a relationship. And then if that relationship doesn't work, you're going to be even worse. Find your purpose. Number one, 100%. Doesn't have to be what you work your job at initially, but you need to be working on it in some way, shape or form, whether it's evenings, mornings or weekends, to be alive. And I totally agree. And one of the guy I mentioned in the Good Healthy Facebook group said the other day, he's walking down the high street in the UK, looking around thinking, oh my gosh, look at the men in this country. They're walking around, they're looking down, there's no smile on their face. They look out of shape. They look like they've got no purpose in life. You know, come on. 100%, you're right.
And this may sound slightly controversial, but a man, love is not enough.
100%.
And I would say a purpose for a man comes first before love. And I go back to Superman, which is probably long before many of the people listening to this. And he gave it all up for surname Lois Lane.
Yeah.
And you know, he stripped of his power and he got beaten up, but he realized it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And he had to go 100%. Back. It wasn't his purpose.
Yeah.
Purpose came first.
And any books I read on purpose, on masculinity, on all those things, and I would say healthy masculinity, and they will all say the same, bro, that for a woman, that kind of that love and the kids, it's enough, or it can be enough. For a man, it's not enough. Purpose comes first. That's why if a man isn't living his purpose, or if he feels like he can't because he's in a situation where he feels like maybe he's in a relationship where his partner isn't allowing him the freedom to live his purpose and he's getting his wings clipped, it's not. She will be sitting there thinking, oh, but you've got a lovely family. Why isn't that enough? It's not. And something's going to happen. Something's going to pop in that situation. But then a man needs to, if he's going to be given the freedom to live his purpose by his partner, better make sure he's doing it. And he's not just sat on the sofa drinking beer, watching football and saying, oh, I'm living my purpose.
Yeah.
It's probably your purpose. Yeah.
No.
She needs to see the reality. She needs to see you moving into that space. Yeah. Yeah. But purpose is everything. Totally agree with you.
Why does time would go quickly when speaking to you?
We so much to chat about, isn't there? So much to chat about. Well, I would not even scratch the surface for either.
What would you say is required? Well, I'll come to it, but it's an important question. Is required at school, because that's where education starts, outside of the home, as you said, going to school. Yeah. And we're focused on getting A stars in maths, English, science, geography, history, etc.
Sure.
But you've got all these qualifications and you don't know about life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's understanding emotional intelligence. That's what's required, and awareness. I made a note of a few things that to me are key. And I think, I spoke about understanding how important our thoughts are is huge. And it's taught a lot within the CBT teaching, et cetera. But understanding that we are constantly thinking, and depending on what we're thinking about will massively shape how we're feeling in that moment. But that's really important. And just to summarize that, we can either be thinking about what's gone on in the past or what's happening in our present. We could be thinking about the things we've got or the things we haven't got, or the things we want or the things we don't want. And we could be thinking about the things that are in our control or out of our control. All of that will shape how we feel at any time. And we're in control of our thoughts. Okay. State, understanding that we can change how we feel at any time. A feeling is an emotion and we can change an emotion. And a lot of people don't realize that. And I've had clients who thought that they couldn't change an emotion from feeling down to feeling okay. And it literally like that until I taught them how to. And I'll be teaching young men how to do that, how to take control of their state at any time. And then wiring it in. So it is built into them. It's a habit and it's a practice. It doesn't just happen. We have to learn how to do it, just like any other skill. Understanding about expectation, I think that's huge, and that should be taught to kids. Like, you leave school with expectations, then you go on social media and everyone your age is driving around in a Lambo, and you're like, oh, well, my life's rubbish compared to them.
Yeah.
We develop these expectations, and when our life doesn't meet our expectation, we get down. But actually changing expectation, learning to appreciate what you have got, whatever it is a huge one. Understanding fear, and going back to what you said very early, bro, you said fear is real when someone points a gun in your face. Yes, it is. But I would say fear is also not real. And maybe that's, like you said, that's the anxiety. They used to say fear stood for false evidence appearing real. And it's so true. We fear so many things that will never happen.
Yeah.
So we have to learn to break through and push. No one who got what they want in life did it without facing their fears. That's a reality. And then understanding that the meaning that you make from anything that happens to you is going to shape how you feel. And the same event will cause everyone to have a different meaning. My recent example, our house chain falling through this week. I didn't feel too bad about it because I like where I live. My wife felt worse about it because she wants to move. And our friends who live locally were really happy about it because they don't want us to leave. So everyone had a different reaction because it meant something different to everyone involved. But it was exactly the same thing happened. It didn't change. Go to a football game, one team scores, half the crowd are really happy, half the crowd are really angry. Why? Because the same events happened, but it means something different to them all. Really important to learn all of those things and then get a habit of practicing. And then I think learn to develop friendship.
Yeah.
Learn that in life, you're going to need a couple of blokes that think similarly and are always there for you with good advice. Or at least there for you to listen to and be listened to.
Yeah.
Yeah. How that happened, I have no idea.
That's like, come on to the how.
Yeah.
Another top. Yeah. Let's think similarly in the right way. And when you say, bro, regards to expectations, and this is common within the yachting industry where certain people are treated in a way by the owner, captain treated by a certain way by the owner, or the captain treated the crew. And then the Pope may return home and they take out on their loved ones.
Yeah.
And then therefore, a short period of time, they let it all out. Then they leave, go back there when they, and the family are dumped with it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And that is common.
So you've got to learn. And that's, you know, that's an extreme example because it's like a really intense into one situation, then really intense into another situation. But that's going on every day when people get home from work and they've had a crappy day in the office and they don't like their job and their boss shouted at them. And they go home and they take it out on their kids. And again, we have to learn to be able to change our state in between leaving the work and getting into the house. And we have to learn how to move from one place to another. And if that means we have to take 20 minutes out and go somewhere and ground ourselves, that's what we have to do. Yeah. But we're in control of it. But step one is the awareness that we are in control of it. You know, to say, oh, it was not my fault. I got treated badly on the boat. So that's why I treated you badly. Sorry, love. That doesn't cut it. She's not going to take that for long. So awareness is huge. Awareness is huge. Because until we get awareness, we think that we can't do anything to change.
I agree with you 100%. And that's where you have the same thinking. Where you got without self-awareness.
Exactly.
Without self-awareness, it's always somebody else's fault. It's always the other person.
Exactly.
World or the situation.
Yeah. It's the victim mentality, isn't it? Yeah, and you hear it all the time. And, you know, I know particularly as counselors, you would probably say that it's so much about building a relationship with someone to be able to then tell them, actually, you are in control. You need to become more aware. It's getting someone into that space. Someone might be listening to this thinking, oh, yeah, but you don't know my circumstance. You don't know my situation. Yeah. And I understand, but I can't get alongside everyone and get to know everyone. I can only say this information is out there if you go and look for it. I didn't make any of it up. It's all readily available.
So, bro, what would be your final message to men who are struggling? I know that you're a coach and you come from a different angle.
Yeah.
Yours is about how to give them the tools to cope with it. But also considering that guy who is in his mind fearful or anxious, however they want to describe it, but has never taken that first step before.
Take the first step. Okay, the only advice you can ever give someone is figure out what resources have you got available to you? Because we live in a resource-rich society. If you've got no money, go on YouTube, go on Facebook and look around at groups. And, you know, I'm not going to name which groups I would recommend on here, but if anyone was watching this and wanted to reach out to you and find out, I'm sure we could share some groups which are quality and groups which are less so. Do what you need to do. Do what you can do to start that journey. Like you said, it's a journey from A to B. It starts with one step, and that might be just going on and starting to look up some of these things. Emotional intelligence, how to change your state, how to figure out what you're in control of. All of these things you can look up and start figuring out and then just start applying them. There's other little things, bro, which I was watching a clip this morning. It said if you have, you know, cold showers and cold baths are a big thing these days. If you immerse yourself in cold water for 11 minutes a week, so not one 11-minute session, but through the week, yeah, it increases your dopamine by 2.5 times. And that would make a massive impact on how you're feeling. That's the feel-good drug. So yeah, it's going to play a massive part. If you understand the link between diet and how you're feeling and look up that and research that and say, am I eating a healthy enough diet? Because that can affect people's mind so much, people's mood so much. Like, these are things we're in control of, we can do.
And sleep's another one.
Sleep is huge. Sleep. Yeah. Those things improve your sleep as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't eat too late at night. Don't drink too much.
Yeah.
And it's all part of a journey, because maybe we're drinking to try and feel better.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you, again, you look up how to have a good night's sleep, you get some advice, and there's so much good advice on YouTube, to be honest, that we can start taking those steps.
And if any man out there is brave enough to journey with you, bro, as a hot area. <Yeah.
laughs> Crazy fraud. The easiest way is to come to me through my website, which is nicktealcoaching.com, or find me on Facebook. It's a fairly unusual name, certainly in the UK, and you'll recognize my ugly mug if you find me. So I'll come back through you, and obviously you can pass on my details, but that's probably the easiest way.
You're still looking big, bro. Good, bro. I was going to say, I said big because I'm actually a big one this year. But I said, people might still, you're going to be 40.
Yeah, that's right. That's just living your strength, bro. And I like it sometimes, bro. Yeah. Absolutely. 40 plus. The waistline might be going up. But it's the big 5-0 this year.
Yeah,
we're all good with that at the moment.
Yeah,
no problem.
I'll let you know when I get there.
Yeah, so you got a little bit of that memory loss going on. Any excuse for another party.
Always a pleasure, bro. So
you
today,
too,
bro. You too. One for me to Newcastle.
That's absolutely. Otherwise, all this stuff I've spoken about, window. You and me will be having an angry conversation. Not in control of my state at all.
But thank you for your shared your wisdom as always. And
no
make
problem.
Yourself available if anybody wants to get in contact with you. So that's Bro Talk with Gary. This today was with Nick Teal. And hope you will benefit from this. And remember, take that first step.